broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I killed someone once.
Yeah, we're waiting for Joe Biden to introduce the president.
Listen carefully, I'll tell you what to do next, okay?
A PETA-inspired protest moments before Sadie took the title
slap
was not...
the young lady on her buttock.
Things are bad.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where the Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass nature of this show will take you behind the scenes, behind the issues, behind the news, behind all the horse dung. You know, people are so funny. People think that they're so discriminating. You know, it really, it doesn't make me laugh because I feel sorry for people. People think they're very discriminating when it comes to information. People are less discriminating today, it would seem, than ever before. It would seem. But I know that we have a core of thoughtful people in our country. It's easy to say, look at how stupid people are. But I imagine that every generation believed, you know, if individually, that the rest of the generation that surrounded them was stupid. But I'm just speaking in terms of media and what I do for a living. The loudest people, you know, as they say, the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. The loudest people these days seem to be the dumbest. I don't know. What is that about? Is it because really intelligent people are, they have more in the way of class? Is that it? Or they're more understated in the way they present things because they feel that the truth will out? These days, man, just these days, because I remember there was a time when I was growing up, like in college, in getting out of high school, and through the 70s, there was a lot of violence in our society. There was, and thank God I was young, because if I'd been older, I probably would have freaked out. You know, I mean, if I'd been my age, say, in the early 70s, I probably would have thought the whole world was ending. That's how weird everything was. But because I was young, I thought it was one big party, you know. So when somebody said to me when I was 19 or 20, yeah, we're going to tear down the system, you know, I thought that sounded pretty good. But then the problems we had in America in those days were so unbelievable when I look back on them. I can't believe we survived them as a nation. I, honest to God, I can't believe we survived them. And yet I remember going to school every day and coming home every day and drinking a glass of milk every day and then walking out and being with my friends, and everything was cool. And there was nothing going on in my town, man. But all over the place, we had cities burning, we had Vietnam, and we had violence. Oh, my God, the violence. We had that. We were introduced to a whole new breed of serial killer. We were introduced to the Manson clan. We were introduced to the Zodiac. We were introduced to the zebra sniper and to the New Orleans Tower sniper. And we were introduced to weird asses like that cat that ripped off the bank in Brooklyn because he wanted to get enough cash for his wife so she could have a sex change operation. And of course, that was immortalized in the movie Dog Day Afternoon. I mean, it's a whole new world that we were looking at. Never before had we ever seen anything like that. On top of everything else, we believe that the problems that we'd had up to that point were the result of too much of a restrictive view of American life, that we were too, quote, to use the word, uptight. So we needed to loosen up. And so parenting became a joke. There were parents, there's wife swapping, you know, weird stuff. I mean, can you imagine that with kids? And, I mean, it sounds, you know.
Sounds pretty good to me.
It doesn't. If there were no kids, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get into it. But there was all kinds of weird crap going on. So yeah, I guess that wife swapping isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But I digress. So, and then out came a movie called Network in the mid 1970s. This was a brilliant film because it predicted everything that is happening right now. It was written by Paddy Chayefsky. It starred the late, great, who the hell's the actor? I forget his name now.
Who?
The guy that played Howard Beale. Who was that guy?
In a movie, Network?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look it up, will you?
I'll go over to IMDb.
Yeah, go to IMDb. They'll have it.
Great. You guys do that. The guy that was in Network. But it was a movie that predicted every single thing that's happening right now in television, in media. That it wouldn't be enough for the news to be reported, that there would have to be some entertainment value affixed to it, that it wouldn't be enough for us to simply be informed, that there had to be a little bell and a whistle here and there. And the film talks about the taking over of a new... Peter Finch, thanks very much, Jace. So Jace got it, okay?
It's Peter Finch.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I got it already. Thank you. William Holden was in it. Faye Dunaway, she plays the head of the network entertainment division, and she wants to take over the news division because she says, I could triple your ratings, and I can do this, and I can do that. And what makes this movie funny, and you have to see it, it's called Network. Patty Chayefsky, those of you who are students of television history, because he started in TV, and then he went on to write couple of great movies. One of them was a thing called The Hospital with George C. Scott. Anyway, what made this film all the more searingly relevant was that the news on this little failing network suddenly becomes number one across the country because their newscaster, their news anchor, loses his mind. He literally has a nervous breakdown on the air and begins screaming that everything is bull-ass this and bull-ass that and GD this and GD that. And he tells people to open up the window and scream out the window, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. And it becomes a hit. The newscast becomes a hit. And not only is he a hit, but then they bring in Sybil the soothsayer, and she's going to tell you your horoscope, and then they bring in some other guy, and it's on a rotating stage, and there are spotlights, and the crowd, they've got an audience, you know, kind of like a Phil Donahue / Oprah audience, and hey, you know. And at the end of every opening monologue that the newscaster, this Peter Finch character, Howard Beale, who has now lost his mind, he's gone, this cat. He's gone, you know, he's crazy. But it doesn't matter to them at the network because he's pulling down the ratings. He's pulling in the numbers. And at the end of every one of his monologues, his opening monologues, he'd pass out. He literally would pass out, and the camera would zoom in on this guy who is passed out unconscious on the stage. And this was the nightly news. I mean, this film predicted the modern news channel, the modern infotainer, the modern, I don't know what you want to call him, right? Cat's like, is he a newsman? Is he a commentator? Is he a, what is he? Is he a jackball? Is he gay? Is he, we don't know, you know. So what do they do? When his ratings begin to slip, because eventually they see that the ratings for this nightly news with this character and all of these people and all of this Sybil the soothsayer and all this crazy stuff in the audience, the ratings are slipping. So they decide that they will assassinate Howard Beale, their news anchor, this poor man who'd lost his mind, they'll kill him on the air. And the voiceover at the end of the movie is hysterical when the man says, thus Howard Beale became the first man in the history of television to be killed for poor ratings. And you got to laugh, you know. It's really great. I recommend it, obviously. I have a copy of it on DVD and VHS, and I haven't watched it in years. I think I'll bust it out and watch it tonight, man.
You ought to know everything about it, but who cares? You know how it ends. And now you told everybody else.
Oh, they don't give a crap. Freaking movie's been out for 30 freaking years, this flick has been out, right? And it predicted everything that we're looking at today, man. Everything. All right, coming up here on our show tonight, our number is 877-876-PHIL. An Italian food TV host is under fire for recommending that you eat cats. Plus, American Idol dominates in the ratings, even against the Olympics. What does this mean? Is our so-called love affair with the Olympics, does it suck? Is it gone? Is it over? Have we ever really had a love affair with the Winter Olympics, folks? Can we get, you know, a little more specific here? The answer to that is no. Of course, we haven't. And other things that we're going to be telling you about. I want to get to this poll that Obama doesn't deserve re-election in 2012, according to 52% of all Americans. I don't even know why we read polls on this show, because they mean nothing. Do you understand? They mean nothing. Nothing. That means as much as George Bush leaving office with whatever the hell it was, a 28% approval rating. That meant nothing. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
You know, Tiger Woods is going to have a press conference on Friday, and I understand this is, what the hell happened to the camera? Hold on for a minute, bud. What happened?
What? Well, the thing is crooked, you jackass.
What is going on? This freaking camera, man. Our video camera just absolutely... Hold on for a minute, man.
I don't even know what you talk about.
I'm talking about this cameraman that's all of a sudden crooked, okay? People are paying to watch a webcast, and they can't see jack crap. Who the hell is coming in here, man, and cleaning this studio up and knocking all these cameras around, huh? Hold on, folks. You tell whoever it is that comes in here to clean this studio out that they gotta watch their P's and Q's, man.
I didn't even know it's nothing got wrong.
Did you know that doesn't get wrong? I look up there, and all of a sudden, the camera's falling off because people are paying to watch a video cast. By God, they're going to see one. They're not going to be staring at somebody's nose hairs. You understand me? Now then, where was I? Ah, yes. Tiger Woods. As if I... Look at this. This is a disgrace. All right. Tiger Woods. Like, I really give a crap. Let me explain something. He plays golf. Now, if you think I'm going to come on and tell you that we... should not have any concern for his personal life. It's all about his golf. No, I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say something pretty close, and here it is. When are we going to grow up? We're talking about adults here. Are you an adult? I'm an adult. We're all adults. Now, if Tiger Woods wants to apologize to the kids, he's more than welcome to do that, in my opinion. If there are children who are disappointed in him, I understand that. Listening to parents say to Tiger Woods, apologize to the kids, I understand that. When I listen to adults who are using that as the excuse, and in point of fact, they got a problem with Tiger Woods, you know what, I'm getting so sick and tired of listening to those people, man, I could hang them right alongside Patty Murray. I'm kidding about that.
Oh, man, they're going to think you're a tea person.
Yeah, they're going to identify the tea bag. I'm joking around. But I can't stand listening to this. It never ends with the people. Tiger Woods, you know, you'd swear to God some of these guys all of a sudden go from being a typical cat you'd be hanging out with in a bar at Hooters, right? And they're bird dogging everything that walks by. But the minute Tiger Woods screws up, oh, my goodness, these guys are like they're in a seminary or something. Hey, look at that dirtbag. What do you mean that dirtbag? What are you talking about, man? I mean, you were talking to say, you were, but you wish you were him. Wish you were him. Anyway, he's going to be giving a press conference. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he can apologize to the little kids. He can apologize to his sponsors. And he can apologize to his fellow professionals. All of these guys, they have an effect, a direct effect on his living. A direct effect on the living that he makes. The person who wouldn't know a golf ball from a basketball, the jackass who is a celebrity hound and knows the name but doesn't know the sport, these peripheral people, non-sports fans, these people who just are news junkies and very predictable in how they judge others, which is, of course, not a standard they would ever hold themselves to. And I'm not saying this because he's black, and I'm not saying this because he's white, and I ain't saying this because he's a golfer. I'm getting very, very weary of the childish mindset. You'd swear to God we're all 3 years old. Oh, my God, look what Tiger Woods did. Well, how long have you been alive? Yes, but you know, he... No, I don't know he. No, I don't. Well, he's a role... Who's he a role model for? Children. Well, if he's a role model for children, there's two reasons for that. Tiger Woods and their parents. So I tell you what you do. You talk to your kids, and Tiger, if you want to apologize to the kids, you do that. If you don't, it doesn't matter to me. You'll have a bunch of parents that are pissed off at you. But guess what? I'm still going to watch you play golf because that's what you do. I don't care about anything else that you do. I like to watch you play golf. I don't care what kind of car you drive. If you want to know my honest opinion, even when you are winning Masters tournaments, even when you are blowing everybody off the field, man, even when you are just killing out there, crushing out there, I don't give a damn what kind of golf ball you use, what kind of car you drive, what kind of lemonade you drink, what kind of slacks you wear. I wouldn't know from any of that stuff, man. None of that crap has any effect on me. I'm all wrong, man, when it comes to all of the research that's done by advertisers. Tiger Woods. Now, who is his? I don't care, man, any more than I cared when Jack Nicklaus was selling that crap, or Arnold Palmer, or anybody else. Do you understand that Arnold Palmer, I think, wasn't he pitching something for a long time?
Who?
Arnold Palmer. What was that? Was that Mr. Coffee?
No, man, that was Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, Joe DiMaggio. Well, there's another one. I never bought a Mr. Coffee. Of course, I wouldn't know Joe DiMaggio from... I wouldn't know him from Greg Gutfield because I was too young. I don't remember him. Palmer, barely. There's nothing those guys sell that I the least bit interested in. But they play golf. I watch them. They kick ass. It's fun. It's enjoyable. I don't make the mistake of thinking that Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence should be just torn to shreds because he was, to be perfectly honest with you, sexually assaulting one of his slaves. The fact of the matter is, he wrote a piece of poetry that is timeless, that has stood the test of time. It is a founding charter of our country, one of the founding, shall we say, philosophical documents of our country. It's a brilliant piece of writing, a brilliant piece of oratory, if you really want to get down to it. And it doesn't make any difference to me the rest of his life. It does not negate what he did there. It doesn't negate the work of Martin Luther King to know that he cheated on his wife. I'm not going to say his work is crap. I'm not going to stop reading Jack Kerouac because he was an alcoholic bum who couldn't even take care of his own daughter. He was tied to his mother's apron strings. He was a disgraceful man, a disgraceful human being. And yet, as a writer, I will forever read Jack Kerouac's work. He was brilliant. And I'm not going to stop watching Tiger Woods or admiring the way the guy plays golf. I'm not going to go on and 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 on about how disappointed I am in the way that he acts, because I don't care. I care, but I am not going to let it affect how I view what that man does. The poetry of his life is the great sport of golf. I like watching it on occasion. Every now and again, I like playing it. It's fun. It's a deviation, it's a distraction, it's something that makes my life, you know, enjoyable as it does you, and I like watching this guy crush that ball. He's fantastic. And the rest of this stuff that has been just ad nauseum, as far as if they asked me, I'd say you can put it away now, because now the people that are complaining about Tiger Woods, they're starting to sound like a bunch of candy asses. You know, they really are starting to sound like they're not even adults. You know, they're starting to sound like the little tiny kids who are, I didn't know that people did that. How dare people? Grown men, guys that you know full well, they don't have a problem with him having sex with these chicks. They just got a problem with him, Tiger Woods. And if you want me to talk about race, you better believe it. If you think I'm some kind of a babe in the woods that just got dropped off the turnip wagon last night, and oh my goodness gracious, Phil, you know there isn't race involved in that. Well, the hell there isn't race involved in it. Tiger Woods is as much an object of that kind of racial scorn as Barack Obama, and any white, lily-white mother wants to tell me something different, go talk to the, as they used to say, the hand or the gland.
Oh my God, that's another thing that you're going to be in trouble for.
Not if you went, oh my God. You're sitting there going, oh my God, it's drawing people's attention to it.
Yeah, you got to watch it though, man.
I don't have to watch anything. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So on Friday when he has his, I don't know what the hell he's going to say. It would be fantastic if he said, I wouldn't play golf again if you paid me all the money in the world. But then you know what? The very same people that think he's a douchebag for screwing around on his wife would say, look at that quitter. Look at that gutless wonder. The guy can't do anything right any more than Obama can do anything right. Any more than Bush was able to do anything right. 52% say Obama doesn't deserve re-election? That doesn't mean anything. That's a CNN poll, which I guess I could give CNN credit for releasing a poll that actually says something to a very slight degree negative about Obama. But I'm not knocking CNN. I ain't knocking Obama. I'm not even knocking the people that answered the poll question. I'm just telling you, it is an absolute meaningless exercise. If you want to take a poll before an election, fine. If you want to take a poll just because that's something that you like to take, fine. If you want to take a poll...
I'm telling you, man.
All right. If you want to take polls having to do with the upcoming elections or a major issue that is going to be voted on in the Congress, for instance, these are all very important polls, I think, to take. But just a general, hey, how do you think Obama's doing, man? What do you think about 4 years from now? How do you think this cat's going to do? Oh, why don't you take that man and shove it? Find something else to do for a living, because you guys, listen to me right now, these polls are meaningless. It's just one more way of getting you crazy. You have to understand how you are being made crazy by this media monster. You have to understand that you are being fed poison every bit as much as the manufacturers of cigarettes feed you poison. You remember the movie Insider, a nicotine delivery system? Well, do you know what media is? Do you know what the media monster of television and radio and film is? It's a bullcrap delivery system. It's a bullcrap delivery system. You are being made insane by this poison. Coming up, we got Pastor William Renick, right?
Yeah, he's on the phone right now.
All right, Pastor William Renick is going to join us to talk about Kevin Eubanks leaving the Jay Leno Show, among other things. Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation joining us in a couple of minutes here. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
But Judge Judy, too.
Judge Judy.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, Pastor William Renick joining us now from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, to talk about, well, a couple of items having to do with show business. And I was looking for the song, too, Pastor.
What's that?
I was looking to the Give It to Me, Rick James.
Oh, I don't know. If you got that, I'd try to send that song to you, but I don't know if you got that or not.
Did you send it to me?
I said I tried to send the song to you, but I don't know if you got that. A song or not. But if you did not, I'd be happy to send it to you again.
All right. You and I were talking last week about Kevin Eubanks leading. And by the way, how is business? I shouldn't say, but the business of, you know, saving souls?
The business of saving souls is booming, you know.
I'll bet.
And I wish it wasn't. It's an interesting, you bring up saving souls, and a lot of people would say, well, now, how is your business? Well, I'm a man of God. You know, I read the gospel. I don't see myself as a professional anything. I see myself as a man of God, you know.
Yeah.
And well, what's your business? You know, how's your business? I said, like, I wish I didn't have a business, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I did not have a business. I wish I did not have to go out and save souls per se. I wish everybody knew Jesus, you know.
Right. That I need saving?
I don't know. That's up to you. I'm not going to tell you that you need saving. I ain't going to walk up to you and say, brother, you need saving. I can see a man that's in pain, you know.
Right.
I can see a man in need of God, you know. I can give him God's word, you know.
Right.
But I'm going to say, you need saving. If I see a man in pain, I don't have to say, you need saving. All I have to do is give him the word, you know.
So, in other words, what you would do is read the Bible.
I'm not just going to read the Bible. I got to read the gospel, you know.
Right.
The gospel according to Jesus Christ, you know, is given to his apostles. So that's what I do. But you asked me about business. The business is booming, I guess. But I wish if you asked me what I want, I'd say I don't want business to be booming. I don't need business to be booming, you know.
You'd rather be out playing golf, huh?
I'd rather be out playing golf. I'd rather be doing anything other than what I'm doing right now, you know, which is trying to get people saved, you know. Trying to save folks, you know.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's.
All right. Are you blowing that off? You ain't blowing that off, are you?
I'm not blowing it off. I just need to get over to the Kevin Eubanks.
All right, Kevin Eubanks. Yeah, I wanted to, that's why I called you last week, because I wanted to talk to you about that. Kevin Eubanks. And,
well, I want to talk to you about that, too, because you know he's leaving the show.
Yeah, well, I know why he's leaving the show. I know why he's leaving the show. And I wanted to talk to you about that. Give me that story. And I got Clarence says hello, by the way.
Would you please tell her hello?
He says hi. Right here. Give me that. Oh, here it is. I got it here. Now, it says here that Kevin Eubank is going to leave the Jay Leno show. You heard that?
Yeah, the news story that I have. Let me get my news story, and you have your news story, I guess. Is it Kevin Eubanks, after I don't know how many years, 14 or 15 years?
Yeah, about 15 years.
Is going to be leaving the Jay Leno show, and, you know, it gives it reasons for that, but I'd like to know what you know, okay? So what I have here is the story, but what do you know?
Well, I know the story. I know why Kevin Eubanks leaving that show. Now, you know that Branford Marcellus was the first band leader on the Jay Leno show. You know that, right?
I knew that it was one of the Marcellus brothers.
Right, because their father was Wynton Marcellus. You know Wynton Marcellus, right?
He's a great sax player.
Yeah. And Wynn Marcellus is in a group called Weather Report. And Weather Report was one of the greatest jazz bands in the history of the world. I love Weather Report. They had, Joe Zawinul played on the keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
And they had Jaco Pastorius.
Yeah, I saw those guys.
And they also, good for you, you saw them.
I just was going to say, I saw them years ago in Orlando.
Where?
Orlando, Florida.
You saw Weather Report where?
In Orlando, Florida.
You saw Weather Report in Orlando, Florida. See, that's a, you just said something that is rock bottom. I can't put that together.
I'm telling you right now, I saw Weather Report at a place called a Great Southern Music Hall in Orlando, Florida, back in the 70s. That's what I saw, okay? So.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me, but if you say so, you know, if you say so, brother, but anyway.
We don't need to give the history of Weather Report, all right? Wynton Marcellus, so Branford, so then what?
The Branford Marcellus is there. He finally leave, right? Now, I know why Branford Marcellus left, because Branford Marcellus is a great musician. Branford Marcellus come from a great musical family. Branford Marcellus got a father that's a giant in the jazz world, you know.
Absolutely.
A giant in the jazz world. Now, you know, they got all the cousins, they got everybody. So he left because he didn't want to be known as some, I don't know what you want to say. You don't want to be like the Cab Calloway, you know, the Jay Leno show. He sure don't want to be some bobblehead doll that Jay say, hey, look at that. Look, you know, let me go over here and take a look at, well, look at what I got here, you know. And I got this boy over here. And
oh, man. Is everything got to be racial with you? Is everything?
Got to be racial with me.
What do you mean? Let's go and see what my boy's doing. You know?
I'm just saying Branford Marcellus didn't need that. He don't need Jay Leno. Branford Marcellus don't need Jay Leno. Jay Leno need Branford Marcellus. See? So he left.
I know he left. All right. So now comes 1995.
Right. 1995 come when Marcellus left. And they promoted the guitar player kid by the name of Kevin Eubank. Now, he's going to leave. Now, he told people he's definitely going to leave the job as leader of the new Tonight Show. It's going to be an interim transition period, but he's going to leave. And this is his golden opportunity to get out with a getting good. Because the reason why Kevin Eubank leaving Jay Leno, and it's never been any secret about this, you had a problem with me, and I said, Branford Marcellus, when it was Jay Leno, said, let me go to my boy. I'm not saying that that's what he said, but there's an expectation, you know. You know what I mean by that?
No, I don't know what you mean by that. An expectation of what?
There's an expectation that you in a band, and you got to laugh at a joke. When Doc Severinsen was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Doc Severinsen thought Johnny Carson funny. I know, because I knew Doc Severinsen. He really thought Johnny Carson funny.
Okay. And Ed McMahon did, too?
All them people, they loved being on the show. They thought Johnny was funny. That's the difference between the Johnny Carson and this new show.
So you're telling me that Eubanks doesn't think Jay Leno's funny. Then why was he with him for, what are we talking about, 15 years?
The man's with him because the money's good. The money's good.
All right, so you're saying to me that Kevin Eubanks, all those years, was gritting his teeth and bearing it because the money's good.
Yeah, but you're saying that like that's some kind of weird thing.
I don't know.
The money was good, man. The money was good, you know. The fish are jumping, the cotton's high. You know, the song goes, now, Kevin Eubanks never thought Jay Leno funny. Never. Did you ever think Jay Leno funny?
Look, I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to get into bashing Jay Leno, okay? The guy's a survivor. I got to give him that.
Did you or did you not ever find Jay Leno funny? Don't lie. You've been, you know, you love to talk about it out there. Tell everybody.
No.
Okay. God.
You know, there was a time when I thought Jay Leno was very funny, when I used to see him doing stand-up down at the Comedy Store in Hollywood before he had a TV show, before he was doing anything. He was hysterical, man. And I suppose that's a common thing that people say. Oh, you know, Jay Leno was really funny before The Tonight Show, but I really did love him before The Tonight Show.
Well, you don't love him now, and that don't make any difference at all to anybody about what you saw on the Sunset Strip way back in the day. No one give a damn, because now you think Jay Leno is about as funny as a case of herpes. You know it, I know it.
Well,
you know it, and I know it.
Okay.
All right. But I thought it would give you some kind of comfort. So what are you doing?
I want to give you, I have to give you medicine.
What are you doing, man? Don't put that thing in my...
Yeah, I have to give him an enema. Not an enema. I got to...
Get out of there.
I have to give him a suppository.
What's going on?
Get out of there. Come on, woman.
He has to have a suppository as part of medicine.
Yay! Get out of here! You made me look like an ass in front of everybody on the radio.
I thought you were going to be done before now.
Anyway.
Are you kidding me? What just happened?
I'm not going into it. Thank you very much.
You tell everyone it's nothing to be embarrassed about.
You know, what he needs. Get out of here. Give me the phone and shut up about that, will you? I'm trying to talk about Kevin Eubank. Are you coming on with a suppository?
What are you taking, man?
None of your beeswax. Now, Kevin Eubank, because the money's good staying on that show. But the word is Kevin Eubank can't take it any longer.
He can't. What do you mean he can't take it any longer?
He can't stand looking at Jay Leno, standing around, listening to that cornball, all that bad joke, and he's got to stand there and take it just like I took it from Clara. That's what I'm talking about.
So Kevin Eubanks, after all those years of that money that you said was more important than whether or not Jay Leno was funny, has finally decided that Jay Leno not being funny is more important than the money.
Yeah, because he saved all that money. How much more money the brother going to make? He can't make no more money. He got all the money he needs. The brother got all the money that he needs. He doesn't have to stand there and say, here come another lousy monologue. I got to stand there and go, ha, 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 ha. You know, that is it. And let me see some teeth tomorrow night, you know. And
I'm sure he didn't say that.
I don't know what he said. But I'm going to tell you that Kevin Eubank can't take it no more. And he said, I'm gone. Like I took it through the corner, I'm gone. I said, ain't no way I'm going to sit. I'm going to listen to that Italian Jay Leno tell him all them jokes. Because he sucks. All right, so God bless you. That's all I wanted to say, Joe.
Well, I'm sorry that I laughed at you. I don't know what Clara's giving you a suppository. That's...
very private, if you don't mind.
Obviously.
What a child. You know that? You the child.
All right, thanks a lot. Okay, so now we know Kevin Eubanks is off the show because Jay Leno ain't funny.
Never been funny, but right now Eubank don't need the money, see? Kevin, you know who his brother is, Bob Eubank.
That's very funny, man.
Well, I tell you, you know... You crack it, everybody's supposed to laugh at you. I get one off and it's like dead silence.
Oh, that ain't even funny, Bob Eubank. Thanks very much.
You don't think it's funny?
What's funny about that?
Kevin Eubank's brother is Bob Eubank?
Kevin Eubank's brother is Bob Eubanks? No, that's not funny. Why? Because one guy's white and the other guy's black?
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny if you look at Bob Eubank.
If I look at Bob Eubanks, that's funny? No, it's not funny. I mean, it just isn't funny.
Because they have the same last name.
So what if they got the same last name? God, you guys are easily entertained, I'll tell you that.
Working on your show.
Oh, yeah?
Ow! Ow!
Yeah, how's that feel, man? 877-876-PHIL. So there you go. Kevin Eubanks is gone. Why? Because Jay Leno ain't funny and he's tired of standing there and gritting his teeth and pretending like it's funny. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Here coming up, the stories we couldn't get to on a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry. It's the
All right, we're going to get to the stories we couldn't get to here on the Phil Hendry Show, but first I want to get to the very, very quickly the story of American Idol and the most recent rejects on that show. And I don't use that word because I think it's funny. I mean, it's a painful thing for these kids. But I got to tell you something. Simon Cowell, this guy's my hero, and I'm being very serious. He's my hero. That's a guy so many more people like him when it comes to whatever the profession. We need people, especially in the entertainment business, we need people to look at these kids and say, you suck. You suck, and go and do something that is worthy of your talents in this world. You suck. Get out of here. You want to know why this guy's so successful and so popular? Because he says what we don't say anymore. We don't want the kids to feel bad. Oh, my God, I can't tell him that because that'll hurt his feelings. And you don't have the right, and he has the right to feel good. He has the right to feel good. And so I love him. I just love listening to this guy. I love it when he rips people an ass. I love it when he tells them, you know, darling, thank you, get out of here. We need that. The entertainment business, so many people trying to get into it, kids trying to get into it, and there just isn't that. First of all, there aren't that many jobs. Secondly, these kids are not as good as they think they are. There's a lot of damn talented people, and there are all kinds of professions. And we need good people in all kinds of professions. We don't need more dancers. We don't need more singers. We don't need more actors. We don't need more talk show hosts. We need, if anything, we need good ones. You know what I'm saying? We need people that can do the job. So here is Simon Cowell and the other people. I don't even know who they are. Who's the guy? Randy or something? And some other jackass. Oh, Ellen DeGeneres. Telling this one kid, you know, forget it, kid. You stink. And we're doing you a favor. Go back to Busted Whistle, Arkansas, or wherever the hell it is you're from, and apply your talents to something that, you know, is going to make a difference in this world.
Well, you know, listen, I won't delay this because we've been deliberating for a while today and just trying to figure out these 24 slots, and I know it's been tough for you guys, and it's definitely been tough for us. And Jessica, you didn't make it this time.
Please. Sorry. Guys, I have so much. You have no idea. You have no idea. I haven't had my voice. I know I can do better. And you guys have no idea. It sounds pathetic to beg up here, but you guys, seriously, I have this in me. You have no idea what I can do.
No, they do have an idea what you can do. You are not right for this business. And if you are and you believe in yourself, then you go out and prove them wrong. But listen to this kid. I don't know what her name is. You can tell she's a loser. And by that, I don't mean she's a loser in life, but when it comes to this particular profession, this kind of approach at least, you can tell she's thinking like a loser. Listen.
Please, please, I've got it. I have it. I have it in me. I have it. Just...
We're not going to change our mind now.
Why?
Because
why
we've
can't
made,
you?
Because we've made the decision which 12 are going through. And
so
that means
many
someone
times.
Else giving up, and it's not going to happen.
Look.
It's not going to happen. It really, really isn't.
It's a tough year. There's so much talent, too. It's been a tough day for us.
I promise you, we can't change your mind.
Look, can I ask something, then? Can you tell me what I did wrong?
You didn't sing as well as the others.
There you go. You didn't sing as well as the others. That's what you did wrong. You're not as good as the others, okay? You stink. He didn't say you stink. The thing that I loved about Simon, though, is he says, you know, the other guy, whoever that guy is, you know, there's so much talent. Oh, get out of here. Cowell's telling her what she needs to hear. You didn't make it because you weren't good enough. Now get out of here and go do something else. And if you're a good singer, now that's where they try to mollify her here, but you can tell that Kyle's getting pissed off.
This is not the end of the road of your career. This is just...
How do you know that? You don't know.
That's what I mean about this kid thinking like a loser. This is not the end of your career. How do you know that? So she already is saying to herself, if these guys don't want me, then I suck. Well, you know what, honey, you do.
This is not the end of the road of your career. This is just...
How do you know that? You don't know that.
Of course we know. We've all been 21 years.
You're not helping us. No, sweetheart.
Everybody who's in this situation feels like it's the end of their life. It is
not.
It's not.
You're 21.
You will look back on this and think this was one.
Quit babying her.
No. And you will be okay.
Quit babying her.
Show me that you believe in yourself and say, hey, nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to get mine one way or another.
All right, Jessica, that's it.
Yeah, goodbye. He had to kick her off the stage. There's Simon. He says, Jessica, thank you very much. Don't let the screen door hit your ass on the way out. Here's Cab Fare to the, you know, I'm telling you, this. We need to do more of this in this world. This is not the business for you. You understand? This is not the business for you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're being honest.
Well, I had to tell you. Stories we didn't get to. A Brooklyn woman says a mugger stole a doggy coat right off the back of her mild-mannered terrier. Donna McPherson says she tied up Lexi, her 10-year-old Westie, outside a Park Slope supermarket for 2 minutes while she bought milk. And guess what? She heard a funny bark. When McPherson went outside, she found the little white dog shivering. His green wool coat with leather trim and belt were nowhere in sight. When interviewed, the dog said, "Thank God, I hated that jacket." Anyway, how could anyone steal a coat off of someone's back in the freezing cold? The 42-year-old investment banker complained to the New York Post, not realizing it was an animal, not a human being. McPherson said the dog coat was worth $25. McPherson, the kind of woman who would befriend a chimp and find her face being eaten by it, looked all over the neighborhood, hoping to spot the burglar who stole the coat off of her putt. Never mind. Foul-mouthed surgeon blasts fat patient. A foul-mouthed New Zealand surgeon has been reprimanded after swearing at a severely obese patient. A 44-year-old mother filed a complaint about the doctor after a tense consultation with him last year, according to the New Zealand Herald. The doctor said F at least three times to the Maori woman, this is one of the native people of New Zealand, after she told him she didn't like the word diet and preferred the term lifestyle. He told her she was just going on an effing diet. Hey, I like that doctor too! Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. And of course, with me every night is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And until tonight or tomorrow morning from the El Pacifico, a very, very pleasant good morning to all of you. Don't forget www.philhendryshow.com for all of your radio needs, our website.
Phil Hendry.